Good morning. It is sunny outside and it is really not snowing this time. So welcome to worship. We're glad to have you here. As we begin, we have some announcements. Do we have any announcements? Announcements. Here's the most important announcement. We love you and we miss you. Amen. So with that fabulous announcement, we need to remind you to collect your worship items at your table. A Bible, you're going to need a Bible today. You're going to want one because I'm going to ask you to look at a couple of verses this morning. So get a Bible, gather your elements for communion and whatever else you need for worship. Your check, your money, your offering. We need your offering. Gather that too. And sit comfortably, find a comfortable place to be, to worship, and join us as we begin worship with the prelude. Kathy? Thank you, Kathy. And now the call to worship. My heart is glad.
My soul rejoices, and my body rests secure.
For you do not abandon me.
You give me counsel.
You are my right hand.
You show me the path of life.
Your presence is sheer joy.
You are my God. blessed is your name.
Let us give thanks to our God.
We are not alone. Thanks be to God.
Our first hymn this morning is Sing of One Who Walks Beside Us, number 231. Let us pray. Loving God, open our eyes to see what is beautiful. Open our minds to know what is true. And open our hearts to love what is good. As we pray in Jesus' name, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. Whole world in his hands.
Bum, 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 bum. He's got the wind and the rain in his hands. Wind and the rain in his hands. He's got the wind and the rain in his hands. Whole world in his hands.
Itty bitty baby in his hands. Itty bitty baby in his hands. Itty bitty baby in his hands. Whole world in his hands.
He's got the wind and the rain in his hands. Itty bitty baby in his hands. Wind and the rain in his hands. He's got the wind and the rain in his hands. Whole world in his hands.
In his hands. In his hands. In his hands. In his hands.
He's got the wind and the rain in his hands. Wind and the rain in his got the wind and the rain in his hands. Whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands.
He's got the wind and the rain in his hands.
He's got the wind and the rain
in his hands. Whole world in his hands.
All right, so kids. And everybody else out there, I was told by some people who are not afraid to tell me exactly what they think this week that my butterfly instructions were not altogether good last week. In fact, they were terrible. So here are your instructions for this week. This will make up for that because this is easy to understand. This week, I want you to tell someone that you love them and thank them for taking care of you. Easy to understand? Easy to do? Huh? And that's important, especially now, because the people who are taking care of you are working really hard to do so many things right now, and they would be very glad to hear that. So, tell somebody you love them and thank them for taking care of you. Easy peasy, you can do that. Let's pray. God, we thank you for loving us, for showing us how to love, and teaching us to care for each other. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay. Now we are, don't y'all feel like you're in church? You should. With my fumblings around, we come to our time of joys and concerns. Ed Struby fell this week, but he's okay and he is doing fine. And I spoke to him this week and he wanted me to tell everyone that he loves all of you. So that is Ed's message. That's Ed's Easter message to all of us. He loves everybody here. Mike Ward began chemotherapy this week. Lonnie will, she is finished, and she's going to begin her next phase of treatment soon. Tuesday? In 2 weeks. Oh, that's right. 2 weeks after her last chemotherapy session. Okay, in 2 weeks. Kim and Brent Forbes have some good news. They have a new granddaughter. Her name is Callie Michelle, and Callie's parents are Roy and Brittany Forbes. We want to pray for all of our school kids and their teachers, Rick, Amber, as they try to learn and figure out online learning. I also think we need to pray for the decision makers in our country because there are some important decisions that they are all trying to make in the best interest of all of us here and around the world. So we want to keep them in our prayers as well. Are there other joys or concerns to share this morning?
Interview on Monday that I would like to have prayers of peace and calm.
For the planetarium? Mm-hmm. Okay. Amber has an interview Monday morning for another job she really wants. So prayers for peace and calm. So remember her on Monday morning. And Rick, you got anything? How you doing at school?
Good.
All right. Figuring it out?
Yeah.
Okay. Good, 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 good. All right. Let's join together in prayer. Gracious and loving God, you have made us and shaped us in your image. You have called us to be your children and asked us to care for each other and your creation. And so this day we offer our prayers for each other and for your world to you now. We pray for all Christians. We pray for all people of faith everywhere who cannot gather together to worship. We pray that they would stay faithful even in their separation and be reminded that separation is a sign of love for you and for each other. We pray for our country. We pray for our president. We pray for the Senate and the House, our governors, all our health workers who are making decisions. We pray that they may govern wisely and with compassion. We are starting to see, God, some of our old behaviors beginning to rear its ugly head again. And so we pray that as citizens, we may act responsibly towards one another and with fairness and think of the common good. We pray for the ties that bind us to one another, that even in this uncertain time with its anxiety and tensions, that husbands and wives would continue to love and respect one another with tenderness, that children are still raised with a basic sense of trust in the goodness of life, that friends continue relationships of open and loving honesty. We pray for the spread of your good news throughout the world, that all people will know your goodness and the rest that you bring us in Jesus, our risen Lord. And God, you know the deepest yearnings of our hearts. You know those whom we are concerned for. You know those joys that we celebrate. You know those things that make us antsy and anxious. We ask you to take them and use all of them to bring about goodness in the life of the world. Shape our lives according to your will and your way. Be near to us, O God, for it is in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.
An underlying theme for the last 2 weeks has been the table. From the Last Supper to the scripture reading that we will have today talks about Jesus meeting with his disciples and giving them calm, even though they are nervous, perhaps even scared, about what the future holds. You see, that's what he wants us to understand, is that his love is with us all the time, that his love burns the candle of hope in each and every one of us. So as you partake of the bread, as you partake of the cup, remember always that Jesus is with you, he loves you, and he will instill in you a calmness and courage to face the situation that is in front of us. Let us sing our communion hymn number 398.
Spend
And on the night in which he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in memory of me." And after supper, he took a cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant, which is for you. As often as you drink this, do this in memory of me." Let us pray.
O loving God, we are so appreciative of your sacrifice for us. As we come to the table, we ask that this bread and this juice nourish our souls, give us calm before the storm, and courage to face whatever comes to us. We know that you are with us each and every day, each and every night, each and every minute. Lord, we are so thankful for your sacrifices, and we will continue to persevere. In these things we pray. Amen. Within the last week, I had a conversation with Pastor Karen about losing my routine and the disruption in my life. You see, I had a routine that I always followed. I got up at a certain time, I got ready, I went to the work, I worked, I went had lunch, I came back, I worked, then I went home, I had dinner, I did certain things after dinner, and then it was time to go to bed. But my routine has been disrupted. I feel kind of lost, like I'm not sure exactly even what day it is sometimes, because the routine is different. As we think about our tithes and offering, our routine has been disrupted. We don't have the opportunity to have the plate passed in front of us to remind us to put our check in there, our cash in there, our offering in there, or even our prayer cards in there. But it is more than ever important that we continue to give to the church, because I will tell you that when things begin to reopen, God's work will be more important than ever to help people. And your tithes and offering will help that work be done. At this time, let us give our tithes and offerings. Gracious and loving God, we ask that you bless these tithes and offerings to do your work. It is our way of being the light of the life, the light of hope in our world. We thank you, Lord, for your blessings upon us, and we ask that you use these tithes and offerings to help others feel the same. Amen.
Amen. Well, here's a little truth-telling. We're going to leave Emmaus alone for a while because it wouldn't do what I wanted it to do this week. Isn't that amazing how you can't struggle with the Bible and make it do what you want? It has its own agenda, and I had mine, and that story and I did not get along this week. So we will hear about that later, but we're going to end up in the same place, I think. So anyway, first reading is going to be from Psalm 27. Psalm 27 is this: "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and foes, they shall stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise up against me, yet I will be confident. One thing I asked of the Lord, that I will seek after, to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. And our second reading, which is, you know, just so perfect for the second Sunday of Easter, is Luke 4. We're going to start in verse 1. Oh, it's the temptation of Jesus. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered him, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. Well, happy Easter, everybody. I was reading the newspaper earlier today. And this headline, this teaser, caught my eye. It said, "After Fauci urged caution in reopening the economy, a news outlet turned to Dr. Phil for a second opinion." Now, I will admit I enjoy watching Dr. Phil on occasion. For me, his show is every helpful now and again when I lose perspective concerning family stuff sometimes. And I am sorry to admit, I do find his show a little bit entertaining. But I don't think I'm going to listen to him about infectious disease like COVID-19, because I would not listen to any psychologist about that. He's a psychologist. And I have sometimes enjoyed watching Dr. Oz on the television. His granola recipe wasn't half bad. I made that once. Didn't burn it like I burned my dinner. But for him to say this out loud, quote, "Schools are a very appetizing opportunity. I just saw a nice piece in The Lancet, British Medical Journal, arguing the opening of schools may only cost us about 2 to 3% in terms of total mortality. Any life is a life lost, but to get every child back into a school where they are safely being educated, being fed, and making the most out of their lives with the theoretical risks on the backside, well, that might be a trade-off some folks would consider." After the backlash that he got, Dr. Oz apologized for that, letting us know that we were confused by his words and that he misspoke. Well, I personally was not confused by any of those words. Perhaps he was confused, and perhaps he forgot. He has grandchildren that go to school and could be the 2 or 3%. He might feel a different way if he thought about that. So the trade-off isn't so appetizing, if you think about it that way. I mentioned these two TV doctors this morning, today, because they are just two of the many, many, many public voices that are trying to feed us, that are feeding us information that contributes to our, I'm going to call it, unwell being right now. Over the last few weeks, I have been listening to you and my family and my friends. And I have been talking and sharing with a couple of my friends about just how this new, unreal reality is affecting us. My daughter and I were talking about this last week, and you know that moment when you just wake from sleep and you're not aware of the new day yet? In that briefest of moments, we have both felt glad for the new day, and quickly a pit rises in our stomachs. Oh, wait, the world has changed. It's hard to explain, but the realization that the world has changed still isn't fully integrated into my being. It's an unwanted invader, and I don't like it. Don't like it at all. I feel like this invader has taken control of my life, and that doesn't sit well with me. I don't like it when outside forces have control of me and my life. All of you are lovely human beings, and you have called and asked me how I'm doing, and you know I'm fine. I really am. I am fine. But I'm having a hard time doing the things that I love. I sit and vegetate way too much. I watch way too much TV. I'm sleeping too much. My internal clock is a mess. My external clock is just as messy. Okay, Dennis, do you watch Saturday Night Live? Okay. On Saturday Night Live last week, Tom Hanks was hosting. Did you see this? Oh, okay. It was the at-home version of Saturday Night Live, and it was great. Tom Hanks was hosting, and he said, there's no such thing as Saturday anymore. Every day is just today. Every day is just today. And yes, that was me yelling at my television going, yes, that's it. I'm eating too much junk, and as my sister said today, we've got a good start on that quarantine 15. I work at home with no sense of time or place, and I'm working deep into the night. And that intrusion of work into home has interrupted my home and work boundaries and spaces. Work and home just kind of bleed together, and that is not conducive for a healthy internal landscape. But my mind doesn't seem to understand that. I try to go for a walk, but I can do that later. I'm mad because I can't do what I want when I want. I'm mad because I do not understand what is going on. I really don't understand how to control this thing, when it's going to end, when we can go back outside, when we can come to church again. I don't have a grip on any of that, and I don't like that. I'm angry because the grocery store should not be my favorite outing of the week. I'm sad because I can't be with the people I love in Colorado and here in Casper. I'm really sad because the office here is way too quiet, and the church pews are empty. I'm a little depressed, okay, maybe more than a little depressed, because I am way too lazy. And as Dennis said, I'm just kind of at a loss because I don't know what's going to happen today or tomorrow or next month. I am discombobulated. Yes. Now that is way too many eyes, and it's way too many eyes for my own comfort. But I'm telling you this because I don't think I'm the only one who feels
that way.
Discombobulated. Yes. It's a really good word that I cannot say, but it means confused, upset, and disoriented. Disoriented. Many of us feel disoriented. We don't know quite what to do or what's going on or when it will change. We all have different feelings about this COVID-19 world, and all of our feelings around it are okay. They're all valid. And some of us are just fine. For some of us, life hasn't changed all that much. And some of us are very good at moving through these kinds of changes. I think it's important, though, for us to recognize all those feelings that are rumbling around inside, and I think it's important for us not to judge them, not to judge ourselves too harshly or at all. And I also think it's very important for us to be very careful who we listen to, especially now. For people of faith, for our community of faith, for First Christian Church, we need to do what Jesus did. In Jesus' moments of vulnerability, he leaned on his identity and his friends. This year, we missed the story of the temptation of Jesus. It's the story we usually open this season of Lent with. It has some important things to tell us for such a time as this. In the Gospel of Luke, you will remember, John the Baptist is out preaching and baptizing. Jesus is baptized in the Jordan River. He prays. The heavens split open. They're torn open. The Spirit descends like a dove. A voice is heard. You are my son, the beloved. With you, I am well pleased. Only in Luke, then, we get a genealogy of Jesus' family connecting Jesus to Abraham, Noah, Adam, and God. This is his family lineage. And then the Spirit throws Jesus out into the wilderness. Now, a word about the wilderness. It was not like our wilderness areas with mountains and lake and aspens. Do aspens quake or quiver? I can never remember, but they are the most beautiful trees I've ever seen. They are beautiful. There were no aspen trees in this wilderness. And it wasn't like a forest filled with wildflowers and meadows. This wilderness that Jesus was thrown out into was hot and dry like a desert. This wilderness was dangerous. It was the uninhabited place. It was the abandoned place, the lonely and the desolate place. It was the forsaken place. And so out in this forsaken, abandoned, and dangerous place, Jesus is alone, and Jesus is hungry. He is famished. He is starving. Vulnerable, you might say. And along comes the slanderer, armed not with a pitchfork, but with opportunity and scripture and a nasty little mind game. Instead of looking at the deals the slanderer wants to make or the temptations themselves, I want you to notice how they are phrased. In Luke 4, verse 3 and verse 9, did you hear how the slanderer starts the temptations, the questions? If you are the Son of God, did you hear that? You ever seen that before? Noticed that? We missed that. This little subversive, insidious mind game that the slanderer is playing with Jesus. If you are the Son of God, the ambush of deception is very subtle here. You know, Jesus, maybe you didn't hear that voice quite right. Why don't you just go ahead and prove it to yourself that you heard right? Or better yet, just go ahead and let God prove it. If you are who God says you are, it'll all work out fine. If you are the Son of God, if you are who God says you are. Remember in the baptism just before this, the voice of God is heard saying, what? You are my son, the beloved. And now, that's being called into question very sneakily. The slanderer. By the way, there are several words for Luke to choose from that mean devil. And here, you can't tell it in English, but Luke intentionally chooses the word that means slanderer. And this is slander that we're talking about here. This zinger is aimed directly into the depth of our being. And when uncertainty lives deep inside of us, that is a desolate and lonely place. But it misfires with Jesus. Even at his most vulnerable, alone and starving, Jesus knows who he is and trusts the one who loves him best. Jesus belongs to God, and the voice Jesus listens to is the voice of God. This new wilderness of COVID-19 can feel like a desolate, lonely place, like that desert of temptation. But I think we need to remember it is not a God-forsaken place. The wilderness was dangerous, yes, but it was also a place of refuge and renewal. The wilderness was the place where God first loved Israel. Hosea tells us that. We all know that Israel spent 40 years there. That time of wandering, it prepared Israel to live in the land they had been promised. You may be familiar with the story of Elijah. Jezebel wants to kill him. So Elijah runs out and escapes into the wilderness. It's a little rough out there. But that's where he finds God, in the sound of sheer silence, remember? God's not in the earthquake, the fire, the hurricane, the wind. God is in the sheer silence. And God says, Elijah, what are you doing here? Perhaps this COVID wilderness, instead of being a dangerous and desolate and lonely place, can be a place of refuge and renewal for us. Knowing we're in a place of refuge And because we are God's beloved, we can name all these swirling feelings that have been rumbling around inside of ourselves. We can look at them through the lens of our faith, remembering that, you know, feelings and emotions are not to be judged. They're neither bad nor they're good. They just are. It's how we act on them that matters. Because we too are God's beloved, if there is a need to act on them, we can lay them beside those fruits of the Spirit that we've talked about. And we can ask, not what would Jesus do, but what would Jesus have us do? And then behave accordingly. Like I said before, the behavior of some folks in our country, the bad, horrible behavior we've seen before, is starting to come out again. And maybe we need to look in ourselves and see what our own behaviors were and how we might change them. Knowing we are in a place of renewal, and because we know we are God's beloved, perhaps we can take this time to look once again at how we practice our faith. We are to be about the practice of gratitude and joy and forgiveness, and forgiveness of ourselves, by the way, and acceptance. God has promised to be with us always. God has come to us in Emmanuel. God has raised Jesus to new life. And as people of faith, as followers and disciples of Jesus, we listen to the voice of God and are reminded of who we are, God's beloved, always, even during our home alone time. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Though we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of the city, it shall not be moved. God will help it when the morning dawns. The nations are in an uproar, the kingdoms totter. God utters his voice and the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord. See what desolations have been brought on the earth. God makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear and burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I am exalted among the nations. I am exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Let us pray. Ever-present God, be near to us. Open our ears and our hearts that we may hear your voice clearly through all the noise of the world. May we find refuge and renewal in this place of wilderness. Fill us with grace and fill us with courage to meet each new day as it comes. Amen. I hope that you all have received an email asking for you to send your favorite hymns to the office, because we need some comfort music, some comfort hymns for us to sing and to listen to. And we will incorporate them in our worship services. Our closing hymn is one of those, and it is Well. Thank you, Rick, Kathy, Dennis, Amber. I got that. But I thought I'd, thank you all. I had something, but I forgot it. So there's another week. We'll just try and remember for next week. Okay, y'all stand at home for the benediction. Everybody stand for the benediction. All right. Remember, y'all can call me. Nobody ever calls me. Oh, see, I just said y'all call me. Y'all call me, but nobody ever calls me. Anyway, may the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, and Leah be with you all as you go forth in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.